Welcome to Big Jim's Garage. Thanks for stopping by. Lots going on. I want to tell you about a couple of contests that are going on. One of their friends at Ford. We'll talk with Ted Ryan, the historian at Ford Motor Company. But first, I want to bring in my buddy Mark Trussell. He's the head of Mopar and Ram Truck Exterior Design, and they do their drive-for design. We'll talk with him first. I'm going to get into automotive design. I don't know about you guys, but as gearheads, I'm really curious how this is going to evolve. Remember when we all started talking about autonomous cars a couple of years ago? Everybody was convinced. Cars are going to look nothing like, they're going to look crazy. They'll have a window, you won't even look out the front, and blah, 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 blah. Well, that hasn't happened. So are we more concerned about electrifying vehicles now? What's the design? And the Drive for Design is such a cool program. The young folks, high school kids, and they are submitting amazing, amazing drawings. So let's jump right into it. Let's go ahead. Let me get Mark right here. Ladies and gentlemen, one of my good friends and one of the coolest guys I know. I love this guy. The head of Ram Truck and Mopar Design at Stellantis. Did I say it right?
You did.
Look
you
at
did.
Me. Mark Trussell. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I love the whole idea behind this design contest. The Drive for Design is, what are you guys in, your sixth year now?
Ninth year.
No, is it really?
Crazy, yeah, crazy how quick it goes.
Well, and to tell everybody the backstory, how it started and your connection with CCS here in the Motor City.
Yeah, sure. So I was a kid in high school, pretty passionate about cars, loved to draw, loved art, and was drawing cars in my math books in class. And kind of fast forward to having a conversation with my guidance counselor, and asked me what I wanted to do. I said I wanted to be a car designer, and they said, "Well, you don't really have the grades for that because math grades because you are drawing cars in your math books." And I had found out about a competition in high school, a car design competition, and I entered it and I won it. And it gave me a scholarship to attend the College for Creative Studies, which is one of the best car design schools in the country, actually the world, and it's right in Detroit. So it really kicked off my design career. And fast forward, the competition went away, and I always thought about me and people and kids that were like me in high school that had that passion for cars, and I wanted to make as many young people aware of car design as a profession as possible, and that's why we created the Drive for Design competition.
It's so much fun to me too, because not only what you guys are doing with Stellantis, but everybody when I was thinking about it, Pete Brock. I spoke to him years ago, and when he became a design guy for your friends at General Motors years ago, he was the same thing. He would draw constantly, but he didn't have this opportunity. He had to go out to California and get a job drawing stuff for Carroll Shelby and them. And then he would show up to these art places and they go, "You don't have the grades." And he would have to show him his art just to convince him to let him in. And your story is one of, I'm hard pressed to find an industry that is more passionate than what you guys do on a daily basis.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't get me wrong. Of course, math and the grades, academics are certainly important, but it's that creative, artistic piece that we bring to designing a car, right? People buy cars not only for the way they function, but for how they look and how they make them feel. And that's the piece that we try and put into the design of every type of vehicle we do.
Now, the best way for this is that I know there's the Drive for Design Facebook page. You can go to the Facebook page as well. Hashtag Drive for Design. If I look that up, any social media platform, it'll show up, right?
Correct. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. Twitter, Instagram, Stellantis, drivefordesign.com. All the information about how the high school students can enter. And we've got some amazing prizes for them. A scholarship to attend the College for Creative Studies. Some Apple products. Actually, some one-on-one time with both Ralph Gilles and myself looking at their portfolios and giving them some encouragement about the field of automotive design.
So one of the things I think is interesting is as we electrify our world, which we do, and you guys, just recently showed off the electric Jeep concept and some of the Moab things. That little Jeepster, by the way, oh my God, that's the cutest little thing in the world.
Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool.
But as we electrify vehicles and you see it as a designer, does it change how you design the car? Does it change the palette, I guess, or how do you, does it evolve, or is a car still going to be a car?
Good question. And actually, that plays into the premise of what we're actually asking these high school students to do is actually tell us, what does an electrified Jeep of the future look like? Because we are curious, right? We're curious what young people think the future of that brand should look like if it is electrified. Do they want it to change? Do they want something completely different? Obviously, Jeep has, you know, the 7-slot grill is such an iconic piece of what makes a Jeep. So hopefully they keep that. But we're interested to see what they come up with on it.
Do you think with design, too, are we as car enthusiasts, maybe as we, I hate the word older, but I think as you become more seasoned in your appreciation of vehicles, that you want to hold on to those visual styling cues more than maybe young people go, it's a Jeep, I don't really care if it has 7 grills, 2 grills, 1 grill, or bear grills on the front of it?
You know, it's a good question, but I think part of what makes, you know, a good soul of a vehicle or an iconic vehicle is having those visual identity that does carry on. You know, if I use the Dodge Challenger, right? It's looked like that over time, right? It harkens back to the original 70. The Wrangler, certainly, you know, the original Wrangler or Willys, it definitely has cues to that. Even Porsche 911, right? That has evolved over time,
right?
And it has those distinct design characteristics that I think make something special in that way. So I think it's a fine line of respecting the past, you know, with paying a little nod to it.
And I've felt the word, one word that I wanted, that not that I want to get rid of, but I don't think it applies anymore, is halo cars. I don't think that applies anymore. Everyone talks about the, you know, the halo. It's your halo vehicle. For folks who don't know what we're talking about, it was normally like the super tricked out car that you would show off. The Demon, someone would have said, was a halo car. The Grand Wagoneer is going to be a halo car. I, as a consumer, I'm looking for fun. I'm looking for something that I am proud of, that I enjoy driving. And when I see, like, when I see Jeep vehicles, and I drove the TRX for a week. You know what my review is, what I wrote, which I'm going to record this week? It's a cartoon on wheels.
Yeah.
I laughed my ass off driving that car. Yeah. I had so much fun driving that car, that truck, excuse me. Wow.
Yeah. I'm with you. I completely agree, because I think it's important, because not everyone, when you talk about halo cars, yeah, typically they're at the upper end of the price realm, right? And not everybody wants to spend that much money on a vehicle, but everybody does want to have fun, like you're saying, and we want to put identity into our vehicle. So no matter where it's at, I'm with you. I think each vehicle should have its own soul.
Please tell everybody that's involved with the TRX, if it ever comes up, that I was absolutely blown away. My expectations were, I'm going to have a Hellcat with a bed in the back. And I got to be honest, I was like, oh, it's going to be this. Not only is it an absolute beast off road, its DNA is insane. It was a fun daily driver, and all the tech and everything in it, I don't know what I expected, but that wasn't it. I was blown away by that truck.
That's great to hear, and I'm fortunate enough to be driving one right now, and I couldn't agree more. It's absolutely civilized as you want to treat it, but when you want to unleash it, it's all there for you, so it's definitely a fun vehicle.
So now what I want to do for your drive to design is I want to submit the Magnum and see if anybody catches it. we did this before. This is the Beatles and Hey Jude. We recorded this one before.
Excellent.
I've always felt that the Magnum was, and you've, in your years, Mark, and experience now with Stellantis, that there were cars that maybe just came out at the wrong time. I love the Magnum. Am I nuts, or was it just didn't come out at the right time?
No, you are right, and I think timing does play into that. You know, you look at wagons have really come on strong in the past few years, and the Magnum was definitely one that kicked that door back open. And the folks that bought them, we still get letters from passionate owners that bring back the Magnum.
So, how do you, with the cycle of when you're doing drive for design too? The other thing is, we always joke that the one thing that young people do not want to do is drive their parents' car. They don't. So everyone's got SUVs now. The SUVs, you know, I call them the belly buttons with wheels. Everybody's got one. That's what it feels like. Do you think at some point, and maybe you're seeing this design, that the idea of getting back to a sedan is going to come full circle?
You know, I think that I do, but I think it will evolve. I think as people, because as you say, not everyone wants to drive something that they're familiar with. And what that does for us is it opens up the opportunity of how do you evolve what an SUV is or what a sedan is. And maybe they blend together in the future and create something that we aren't familiar with and creates a new look and feel for our customers.
What has happened to autonomous? I mean, the word autonomous a couple of years ago was everywhere. We were all talking about, we all knew levels, level three, level four. We all knew what, you know, level of autonomy. And it feels like for some reason, and I know the world the past 18 months has been crazy, but it doesn't feel like it's forefront anymore. I mean, are we still going that way, or is it more important to electrify the automotive fleet in the United States?
I think both of those are still both relevant opportunities and areas that are going to be continued to evolve. I think electrification will probably get there faster than a full autonomous vehicle. I think there's a place for it, but I think that there was definitely a lot of hype behind it at one point. I think it'll probably be a little slower walk than normal.
Yeah, and then, you know, I honestly, and you guys, there's so many things in the works. We're talking with Mark Trostel here, head of design at, let me see, I want to make sure I get your title right, head of Ram Truck and Mopar Design at Stellantis. So are we going to see more city trucks? Do you think we're going to evolve to that, where we're going to get smaller versions of the Ram truck? We're going to see that as well?
You know, we're always getting feedback from our customers, and you know, the Ram 1500 and our heavy duty right now are so popular. We've talked about the TRX, and it really resonates with our customers for how they use those vehicles. But we're always looking for the feedback of, you know, what would they like to see next.
So one of the concepts, and Drive for Design, by the way, again, everybody, if you've got someone in your life who's into this, you got to get them involved in this competition. Seriously. It can't hurt. I always say the worst thing someone's going to say is no, so take a shot at it, right? I mean,
yeah,
it can't hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the things that's great about the competition is one of our previous winners, a young man from Ohio, won our competition. We, you know, talked to him. We actually sent him to CCS on the scholarship that we provided for the winner. He graduated, went through the program there, and he now works for us as of the past few months. So what a great story for us and for him to pull him into the car design field.
That is so cool. Now, out of all the vehicles that you guys have, I still think the Gladiator is the biggest open template. I can take a picture of a Gladiator and draw 20 different things on it. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Gladiator and you know, and Wrangler too, obviously, yeah, which it's built from, are just great platforms for customers to customize however they want. You know, you can create so many expressions with them.
Do you think that going forward with the Drive for Design idea, that we're going to be able to develop cars quicker than ever? You know, my son is just graduating now from Michigan Tech, and I know they had a metal 3D printer they were testing with. He's a software engineer, and we were talking about all this stuff. It just feels like when a great idea comes around, we can get it to market quicker than we ever were in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, technology obviously just helps streamline the development of products these days, you know, through simulations, through just efficiencies, and certainly even getting into the manufacturing side of being more efficient in making parts and pieces. It's crazy how quickly things move these days. It's very exciting.
Is that change a challenge for you? Because you know, you now you have the lead time maybe half of what it was before?
I think it helps because, you know, we're all about, you know, working on the next thing. And so for a designer, it's very exciting to come up with an idea and have it transformed into reality, as quick as possible.
So what's the next thing? Come on. I tried.
You got to try. I give you that.
You know, I'm going to ask you that question.
We never let you down, right?
Yeah,
we
absolutely.
Never let you down.
You got a demon, don't you? Did you keep one?
I do. I'm fortunate. I have a demon. I love that car. Can't wait to get it out too.
Wait a minute. You were driving your Hellcat in winter. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. Snow tires are a good thing. It was it was a lot of fun. That's for sure.
Well, see, you sound great
to the next level. That's for sure.
You sound good, Mark. You're good. Everybody's good.
Doing good. Looking forward to some good car weather here coming up, that's for sure.
Absolutely, man. The Drive for Design, again, this is such a cool 9th annual. This is fantastic.
Yeah, awesome. We're so excited.
When do we see the finalists and stuff? When do we, as consumers and fans of this, when do we see the finalists?
Yeah, so all the entries need to be in by May 14th, and then we've got about a 2.5 week run after that where we'll go through them. We typically have about 130 to 170 entries from all over the country, and go through them, and we'll pick our top three winners. We'll be posting them.
Stellantis, drivefordesign.com. That's the website, but again, hashtag drivefordesign. You'll see all the social media links there and stuff too. Man, this is cool. This is cool. I'm glad you're doing well, and give our best to everybody. You guys keep creating fun stuff. Keep having fun. That is so important to me. I don't want any more boring vehicles. I want fun. I want something that when I'm driving, I enjoy.
Agree. Thank you. You take care as well. Always good talking to you.
And I'm going to submit the Magnum drawings, and I'm going to win this whole thing.
I'll look for them.
Talk soon, Mark. Be well.
All right. Take care.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
There goes Mark, and now we move forward to our friends at Ford Motor Company. Ford Frenzy going on right now as we speak. It's their brackets. This is so much fun. They've done their brackets, all 64 ranking, which, you know, I'm going to get to in a second with Ted Ryan, the historian of Ford Motor Company, who kind of pulled all this together because my car didn't make it, the one that I love. But it is a lot of fun. And you will anguish over this. And they tried to work in European cars. We'll talk with him here. Ted Ryan, the historian, got him on the phone here for Ford Motor Company. Ford Frenzy underway. My Thunderbolt didn't make it. Ted, what happened?
Oh, wow. Well, it came about in a hurry would be my best excuse. Don't ever let anybody tell you Ford can't be agile. We pulled this entire thing together and got it launched in 6 days. The Thursday before the tournament, Mark Truby sent around a note to his comms leader saying, hey, we ought to do a bracket challenge. And then by the end of that day, we had a list of 100 cars. The team began to vote on the 100 cars to narrow them down to 64 cars to fill out the brackets. And we seeded them based on – and we left a lot of good cars. We left the Ford Probe. My God, man, how could we forget the Probe?
Oh, no.
My dad actually texted me. You're not going to believe this. He said, Ted, what about the Gran Torino? You used to love Starsky and Hutch when you were growing up. So, you know, there's some quality vehicles that did not make our final list.
By the way, folks, just as you're listening, this is Ted Ryan, our historian here at Ford Motor Company. And we're talking about Ford Frenzy, hashtag Ford Frenzy. It's an absolute wonderful bracket that will send you down a rabbit hole 20 different ways as you vote on your favorite cars. I'm looking at the second round here. The one that jumped out at me was, where'd it go? The one that I was conflicted, and I think the Pinto is going to beat the GT500. That's my upset pick.
Do you really?
People love the Pinto. The Pinto is a punchline for a lot of people, but a lot of people grow up loving that, man.
Well, let me give everybody the address. It's Ford Auto Shows with an S.com,
yep.
/Ford Frenzy, or you can find it off of the Ford Twitter account.
Yep.
At Ford on Twitter. But the one that stunned me, Jim, can you believe that the Continental Mark II, the 56 Continental Mark II, a car so classic that Liz Taylor had one painted to match her eyes, got beat by the 55 Fairlane? That was a stunner.
Yeah, that makes no sense. That makes no sense. But that's the fun of this, is really looking at, you know, like the GT40 against an 83 Ranger. I love the Ranger truck. I learned how to drive a stick on one of those things. But come on, it's a GT40.
The one that's going to get the Ford people, and I didn't realize I had done this, that I had stacked the 66 Bronco, your classic Bronco, for a second round matchup with the 2021 Mustang Mach-E. I should have given the Mustang Mach-E the Pinto in the second round.
So is there a car, though, when you were pulling this all together, is there one that maybe, I wouldn't say you forgot about, but maybe one you went, oh, that is nice. I forgot how beautiful this car was.
The 66 Galaxy 500, because we did share this list with a small group of media because we were on the fly and it was over a weekend. But it went to Jay and Leno's garage, and they came back going, oh, my gosh, the 66 Galaxy has to be a higher seed than 12, which unfortunately it wasn't. But the 66 Galaxy is such a pretty car. But it's going up against the 1940 Lincoln Continental, so you got beauty on beauty in that matchup.
Yeah, it's fun. And you got the Focus RS in here, too. I mentioned the Mercure. I can never say the name. The Mercure?
Mercure, you're right.
Yeah. Where does that fall in the Ford family? What was that, just a one-off, or what? How does that apply? Because obviously it shouldn't be on here with the other ones.
Well, it was a Mercury, but then again, keep in mind, a lot of these cars were European, and I tried to see the Europeans so that we'd get at least a couple going through, like the 2014 Fiesta.
Yep.
ST is an icon in Europe and in England, but it got beat by the Bronco. And then the one that stunned me was the RS200. One of those just sold for $239,000, but it got beat by the 70 Mustang Boss.
I was going to say.
So in some cases, the Europeans didn't get their fan bases activated, where the Mustang Club of America sent around a note. So the Mustang folks are out in force to vote their cars through.
It was interesting to me, Ted, like when the Focus really, when we started seeing a lot of the European ones, the different models, I can say this now because I'm not going to say where I saw it, but it was here. At an aftermarket place here in the Motor City, they had the Colin McRae version.
Wow. And interesting.
And that was one of those. And then they had a ragtop too, which was, they had a couple of these hidden in the back, and they showed them to me and told me, I can't say where I saw them, but I saw them. And the Colin McRae one, I still think you could sell that like crazy today. There's so many people that are into rally in a minute.
Yes. Well, and rally particularly, oh my gosh, in Europe, it's so popular in Europe. It's popular in the U.S., but nowhere near. And Jim, the other stunner for me was the Transit. You know, in America, it's like, what's a Transit? But in Europe, when you go to Dagenham at the car museum that we have at our Ford Dagenham plant, they have a Transit front and center in that museum. They got a GT in there too. But the Transit is such an important car for Europe. I was that's why it was seated the number 2 seed, but it got taken out by the 84 Bronco 2.
There you go.
Talk about an interesting matchup, the 1986 Taurus, frankly the car that saved the Ford Motor Company, against the 84 Bronco 2. Not quite sure who's going to come out of that one.
I like the Bronco 2. I just wish they had more decals on it. Wow.
And the Eddie Bauer edition. So the voting, by the way, just went live at 10 o'clock. So people can vote in the second round now. And Jim, we're calling the different rounds. I've got to go. We were way too clever on a Sunday night trading emails back and forth. But okay. The 32 valve, the 1.6 liter, the V8, the 4 on the floor, and the deuce for Henry the second. And then the winner will be the sweepstakes, an homage of our very first race car that Henry Ford raced prior to even the Ford Motor Company.
Oh, that's cool. See, you know, okay, here's the thing. You're having fun with this. It's not so serious. You know what I mean? Some brackets are so serious, and you guys are respecting Ford and doing it right, but you're having fun.
That's the whole point, was for us to, we're a bunch of car people. You would have loved it. Jennifer Flake advocating that the Flex get a higher seed. You would have thought that we were at a trial or something, because I had the Flex in as a 16 seed, and she had me put it as an 8 seed. Of course, the Edsel knocked it out, but be that as it may. And we're having fun, and that's the point. Everybody go out and vote, have fun.
Yeah.
Just wait till you get to the 1.6 liter round. When you get to the next round, there aren't going to be any more Tauruses out there to make fun of. It's going to be car on car, mono on mono, and it's going to get tougher. And then the V8 round, oh, my gosh, those are going to be some really tough choices.
It's Ford Auto Shows. Make sure you put that S on the end.com. Hashtag Ford Frenzy. If you put that, I put that in on Twitter, and it took me right there. And you can vote here, and I love how it links it, where you can share it as well. How you doing, Ted? What are in the midst of all this? What new stuff have we unearthed in the vaults at Ford?
We have unearthed some amazing Mustang stuff, but I'm just going to tease you and say that the interpretation of how the original Mustang was selected in August of '62, the story is going to morph slightly with some of the amazing documents. But you'll have to wait till Mustang Day on the 17th before before we reveal some of the items we found. We found the first person account of the design review session with the 7 or 8 different Mustang body styles that were out there, including Lee Iacocca and Henry Ford II.
Wow. And I saw speaking of Lee Iacocca, the internal memos about the track for the GT40, like with Le Mans and everything.
Yeah, we did. And if you go to FordPerformance.com, you can see them there. If you follow my Twitter at TedRyan64, you can see them there. But what we found was the Lee Iacocca's report from December of 63, so before the cars really even formed. And it had the different results of the different test tracks. And then he had the 3 different goals of the GT program, which were so significant. One was to build a race car that could win. We did it. Took a couple of years, but we did it. 2 was to build a street version. Well, we did it. And one of them is represented in here as a number 2 seed, the 65 Mark I.
Yeah.
We sold 135 of them, and they commonly sell for more than $1 million now. And the 3rd was incorporate in elements of the engineering into the different cars, which we did in the Mustang program. So that document was dated December of 63, and we lived up to all 3 of the goals of the project.
That's so cool. Now, hey, the Thunderbolt, I was kind of giving you some needling you a little bit at the beginning, but the Thunderbolt, was that a drag strip only car, or was that available as a factory option?
I think that it was not available as a company option. I'm going to have to cover my tracks and say I would need to research it more.
Right.
But I don't believe that one was available factory.
I've always wanted to do a book of nothing but hoods, just hoods from the golden age. And that had the biggest teardrop hood I've ever seen.
It was a unique vehicle. A guy named Steve Staxey, by the way, is producing a book on nothing but concept cars for Ford over the years.
Really?
He did Volume 1, and that was just published, and he's almost done with Volume 2. And my team has spent months and months and months going through our photo collection, finding photos that have never been released before. So when that comes out, when we get both of them, Jim, I'll get you over a couple of copies.
Oh, fantastic.
It's stunning to see concept cars over the years.
And how it's evolving now. It feels to me like when we see concept cars these days that they are closer to what we actually get in production than they have ever been.
Yeah, they are. And you know what's interesting, too, if you go back and look at the Bronco concepts that were done over time, you know, I think elements of each one of those concepts was molded into the final Bronco.
Yeah.
But the concept cars are just what they are. They're design and engineering and design clay to work on, to work out ideas and to see what can be, what's the art of the feasible and the art of the possible.
I've always said, and I've been saying this recently on the podcast, Ted, that one of the things I believe is we've heard the term halo when it comes to the halo car, whether it's, you know, for Ford, it was the GT or the Mustang or the Mach-E. It could consider some, it could be the halo car or versus a Corvette or, you know, all these high performance supercars. I think that companies are doing a better job of telling me that they can still have fun. The Bronco is fun. I drove the Bronco Sport for a week, went off-roading in Fenton, Michigan here, at a legit off-road place with Tom and some of those guys, and laughed my ass off. The thing was a little tank. We were airborne and driving through mud and dirt, and I had fun. And when you drive cars, I want you to tell me I can still have fun while I'm driving. And that's what I'm looking for even more than a halo concept.
I'm 100% with you. I actually have a Bronco Sport out in the garage, and I'm about to get in and go run some errands too. So it's a good daily driver as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Mach-E, the reviews coming back from the Mach-E with people who went in skeptical going, wait, this thing has a Mustang pony badge on it? Really? When they get in and they drive it, it's just stunning. The feel, it's four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive, rather. And, you know, you're hugging on corners, your acceleration. I think it will be a halo car. And then the Bronco, when it's out, is going to change the game. I was driving back from the airport yesterday and saw one of the pre-production Broncos on the road. It made me smile.
Well, look at, and I think it's competition is good for everyone. The fact that look what Jeep did with an electric, you know, they brought out their Moab stuff that they're doing. And I know this is a Ford interview, but I think it's great for the consumer and for the auto industry when you have healthy competition. So, and that's what's going to be fun, man. You're going to hurt some people, man. There're going to be some egos bruised between Jeep and Bronco people. You know that, right?
That's just what happens. I mean, we're trying to build the absolute best off-road vehicle that we can. And if we succeed, that's going to be enough. And then I'm with you. Competition is a good thing. And I'm sure they'll reply back, and then we'll have to up our game over time as well.
Well,
that's good for everybody.
Absolutely. It is. It's all good. People get weird about it. I'm like, don't get weird. It's great, man. You're talking competition. FordAutoShows.com, hashtag Ford Frenzy for the Ford Frenzy. My high school buddy, Steve Sweeney, 74 Pinto with the Krager speakers in the back is not in there. But other than that, it's fine.
My brother's Grand Torino, and the speakers in the trunk. I mean, my God, all he had to do was turn on the radio and the car would move.
It was Sweeney.
He didn't need gas.
He had two Kragers laying flat in the back. And these were, no, they weren't Kragers. They were Sherwin Vegas. That's right. He had Sherwin Vegas laying flat in the back. I don't know how that car started because of all the, if you had that stereo on, there was no way that car was starting. No way.
God, do you remember the under the dash aftermarket amplifiers that you'd put in to get your bass boost? Oh my gosh.
You kidding me? Kenwood 6-channel amp. It did absolutely nothing, but in my mind, that car sounded awesome. Yeah, man.
All that tells me is we're both children of the 70s.
Absolutely. Ted Ryan, it's great talking to you, catching up. We'll talk soon. I'll see you at Mustang Day, right?
Yeah. Thanks much. And get out and vote. Or vote early. Actually, you can't vote early and often. You can only vote once because Twitter locks it down after that. So carefully use your power of choice
as you
see what cards you want to go forward.
FordAutoShows.com, hashtag Ford Frenzy is another way to find it. Be good, Ted. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you much.
There we go. Thank you to Ted. Ted Ryan of Ford, also Mark Trussell. Great guys. So, wrap it up here. You can always follow me on Twitter at WCSXGym. We record these in Detroit. Subscribe wherever you, Amazon, Music, iTunes, B-Pod Studios as well. We're getting into racing season now. It's coming quick. Formula One. Wow. Dirt track racing and NASCAR. NASCAR is fun this year. If you haven't watched, it's a lot of fun. They're getting after it, man. IndyCar on the way. Be interested to see some of the guys, Jimmy Johnson and Romain Grosjean's driving there. You got Kevin Magnussen went from Haas, and now he's driving over doing the IMSA stuff as well. I do want to mention a couple things real quick. I spent some seat time with the new Cadillac Escalade. Technically, amazing. Amazing vehicle. The technology in it is wonderful. You're well over $100,000 when you're driving one of these. So the technology is as advertised. Very impressive. Very impressive technology. I didn't like it. I know people love it. I got people here that I work with freaked out. Absolutely love it. I'm getting a Denali all day over that. I would. I don't know. Escalades to me were never meant to be sleepers. They're loud. It's the guy who signs the autograph with the star over the eye. If you drive an Escalade, it's a Sclade. It's supposed to have a little attitude to it. I don't get that when I'm driving the Escalade. Beautiful car, great ride. I'd get a Denali all day. Again, just my opinion. But after spending a week with one, it's all right. Is it $116,000 nice? No, it's not. And what I told Mark earlier in this podcast about the TRX, I was 100%. I wasn't just saying that because I was talking to him. That thing blew me away. What a great truck. Now, it's a cartoon on wheels. So anything you say about a TRX when you try to work into a practical automotive review, have fun with that. There's nothing practical about a TRX. That's the point. It's a cartoon. It'll go like hell. It sounds mean. It looks mean. It is off-road capable. I threw that thing in deep off-road, and it didn't even blink. It is an animal off-road. But it's a good daily driver, too. Now, I will say, when I filled it up, I tried to use premium gas. It was $82 to fill it up. Gugh. But what are you going to do? The noise of a Hellcat when it starts pulling in that air, it's magical. I want that as my ringtone. A couple vehicle reviews there for you. I'll be driving the G80. The Genesis, the G80, they've got the 2.5 liter, their four-cylinder that everyone is raving about. So, actually, that vehicle's getting delivered here in a little bit. So, we'll have some notes on that next time. You guys stay safe on the roads. Have fun. Enjoy your rides. Soon, we'll all be cruising together, right? Be well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.